feeling shitty. And then she was dating someone at the time, and she needed, I guess, to talk about her experience, but she was more in the excited phase. And she knew how tough that period of time was for me. And each time we get on the phone or we'd meet, she, and mostly it was just phone, I realized she wasn't even making an effort to meet up with me, was to talk about her joys and her fun times with this guy and how amazing things are and he is. And this is in the beginning, when she started dating this guy, and even going into detail about what they were doing physically in bed. It was making me feel awful normally, and I would even start feeling guilty about that. Well, shouldn't I be happy for my friend? Shouldn't I be a good friend to her and listen to all this? And I said, wait a second, I'm really struggling in my life. She knows that. If anything, she should be showing a level of empathy and understanding and re and tact, just human tact, basic level of tact that at this time, I am not the person to turn to talk about those things. There will be a time and a place. That point in time was not it. And she was totally incapable of that. And ultimately, whether it was intentional or not, I don't know, but it was hurting me. And I tried to set boundaries with her about that and tell her, just be straight up and straightforward and say to her, this is not a good time for me. I'm sorry. I can't be there like that for you to talk about this stuff with. I'm not the right person to do that with right now. She's like, okay. And the next time she would get on a call a few days later, the same story. Initially, she would pretend, I noticed, to want to talk about me and give me some room to talk about my feelings and what I was going through. Only to segue into her experience again with that guy she was dating. Then, as time went on and I was feeling better, and no longer ruminating over that situation, with the guy, and it's just getting on with my life and just feeling better in general. Then I guess things began deteriorating for her with that guy. And then she started coming to me again to talk about this guy, even though I hadn't changed my position. I said, maybe it's best we just don't talk right now. It's too loaded. We can't be therapists to each other like that. It's triggering for me and whatever. And so maybe it's best like we just not touch on those issues and talk about other things as friends right now. And yet, she still violated my boundaries and she still continued on talking about that guy. And I fell for it. And I wanted to be empathetic and to provide, I thought, some much needed advice. So she would listen to me. And then I had no idea that she didn't actually want advice at all. She just wanted a sounding board. And I had been in those kinds of relationships, not friendships, but the more or the romantic relationships where I relegated myself to the place of being somebody's sounding board. And that's not a good feeling at all. And that's what I started getting from her too, as a friend, that that's all she wanted from me. The minute I expressed a point of view she didn't agree with or didn't comport with her idea of what was acceptable advice, or which tolerable advice to her, she started lashing out. She raised her voice. She started accusing me of things that I didn't say. She said, you're calling me crazy. Like, how dare you? And I was like, what? What are you talking about? I said, I didn't say that you're crazy, But I said, your accusations and you're lying about what I'm saying, that's crazy making. And I am not going to tolerate that. You're yelling at me. She's like, no, I'm not. Okay, we all know, right? Stop right there. I'm going to stop right there. Now, you've heard that before, I'm sure, in relationships with narcissists, whether they're romantic friends, family, whatever. I didn't say that. I didn't do that. And you're like scratching your head. I just heard her say that. I know what yelling sounds like. I know what accusations, false accusations sound like. I know she just told me I called her crazy, but I did not. I know what came out of my mouth. And how did I even get dragged into this? How did I get dragged into her chaos and her drama that clearly was coming from a place where, if I had to analyze, she was feeling really anxious over this dating situation with this guy, that she could not have this and lash out at the guy. So she was going to create a situation with me, violate my boundaries, put words in my mouth when I gave her advice she didn't want and didn't tell me she didn't want initially. And then, gaslight me in the process or attempt to. So I was not having any of this. I'm like, I'm so sensitive to this crappy behavior from anyone now. I don't allow it. I just cut it off right away. And I remember I said, I'm done with this. If this is how it's going to be, I'm not interested. I said to her, and let me be clear, you just canceled. There was another, the backstory also that was super triggering was that she knew that that guy that I had been seeing in, back in late last year, had one of the things that he had been doing to me was canceling, constant canceling of our dates, of dates planned and constant. Okay. And obviously, I was stuck in a place where I didn't know what was going on. Was it because of his divorce and he wasn't over it? Was it truly because he was busy with all of this crap? Was it because he was lying to me and actually seeing other people? And when a better prospect to him came along, he would go for it and cancel with me? Was he like, a player? What was going on? So all this stuff, and she knew how sensitive I had become and how hurt I was over cancellations. And do you know, listener, she did the same exact thing. And that's where I thought, okay, am I going crazy, or is this, whether she's doing it intentionally or not, she must know on some level that it is unacceptable, and it is the very same thing that that guy had done to me, and she knew that it had hurt me. She kept canceling. She would schedule, hangouts, meetups with me, and then cancel. Or the day would come to confirm, and she would blow me off for half the day, and then call me after, or reach out to me after the time that we had tentatively set to meet for that day. So, and then to talk about her dating situation, of course. That was why she was reaching out to me. And completely, not even once or twice, she didn't even acknowledge this fact that she was glossing over the cancellation or the change in plans or the fact that she, didn't even bother contacting me earlier in the day to excuse herself for not being able to meet up, or confirm plans. Yes, listeners, this is what I was going through. And you would say, well, why didn't I just cut it off sooner? I did try. I did try. And in fact, up until the COVID, I think between December when this stuff happened and March when the COVID crisis hit and we went into shutdown here in New York, I was not. I was avoiding her. I was not initiating. She tried to initiate a few times. I was withdrawing. And then March happened, and I guess I felt bad for everyone. I was in a more empathic state and perhaps willing to move on from the past. And so we started talking again, and again, she would initiate. I would start talking to her, and then she wanted to do the conference calls. I was talking about the video calls, the FaceTime video calls. And that's when I mentioned in the last episode, it started coming to a head again, where she was ridiculing and making fun of me for quote unquote exposing myself on video. And I was like, okay, I'm dealing with a completely immature, insensitive human being. And then again, I tried to withdraw and stay away from this person, and she kept trying to call me. And the last time, about a month ago, when she reached out to me by phone, because I stopped taking her video calls, by audio call, she starts with, "How are you doing?" Like very manipulative. I know her by now to find out what was going on with me, and then she starts talking about again that guy, which she got back in touch with, and she wanted advice again on something. And then when I offered it, and it didn't come up, I guess it wasn't the advice she wanted to hear, because I said to her, "Do you think now's the right time to be thinking about sleeping with this guy when the first time around back in December, you were concerned and you didn't, there were so many issues that you brought up about this guy and that he may not be a good fit for you. And now during the quarantine, you're seeing him and now you're considering even sleeping with him." And I said, "You don't know where he's been. You live with roommates. Don't you think, you should just, or at least the first thing that I would think of is like, okay, if you want to do that, let's go get tested. And I want to see your test results. That would be the appropriate thing to do." Now, she knew all about how I felt about COVID and how sensitive I was because I saw what it did to my father. And I'm a firm believer in being responsible for the community and not just yourself. And she went ahead and she started yelling again. "What are you saying? I didn't say I would sleep with him now. That's for later." And then she begins to accuse me of being judgmental. "You're so judgmental. Why are you judging me? Why are you judging me?" She just went off. And I said in a very calm way, I called her by her name. I'm sorry. Think I spoke too loudly and I triggered a coughing and sneezing. Ooh, okay, it's not COVID. That's my humor for the day. I'm sorry, I just spoke too loudly and irritated my throat. I'm fine. So I said to her, called her by her name, spoke very calmly. I said, "I'm not doing this, okay? It feels like what happened back in December. I can't put myself through this, and I can't do this. So it can't be this way. Our friendship can't be this way. And I said, I'm going to hang up now. And I went ahead and hung up the phone. I haven't heard from her since. She hasn't attempted to reach out to me. She's been orbiting me on social media, leaving traces that she's viewed my stories and, you know, sound familiar? And then another thing she did, she had befriended one of my friends that she met through me. And literally not even a week or two after this happened, she made plans to meet with my friend and without including me or mentioning anything to me, of course, and posting her stories and pictures, which she rarely posts things on social media for me to see, or just posting them for whatever reason. And I realized, oh my God, my instincts about this woman were spot on all along. This is like the playbook of a covert narcissist. And so my listeners, you see, they come in all shapes and sizes and forms. And it can be a romantic partner, a husband, wife, a boss, a colleague, a taxi driver, somebody, you know, somebody in a store, a stranger on the street. Those are the more harmless ones, of course, those strangers, because, you know, it's a short interaction and be gone, they're gone, never to be in your life again. But when it really is hurtful and harmful is when, you know, they're in your inner circle. And so it's a loss because I thought she was something that, I don't know. I thought we had something as friends, and we had gone on vacation together a couple years ago, and that was fun. So there were fun aspects to her, but, you know, when the toxicity outweighs all the rest, decisions need to be made. And I think she knows that. I think she knows enough about me that I'm on to her. You know, when they know that you're fully on to them and that you got their number, they're just going to go away. They're going to disappear, which has happened with the last two guys I dated. You know, when they realize you're onto them and that they're not going to get away with, you know, their abuse and their shenanigans, they just disappear. And that's fine. You know, you go through what you go through in terms of whatever it is, it's always, there's a loss and you let it go. And you're like, you know, I'm not going to change this person, but I'm not going to subject myself to that toxicity anymore. I don't need to. I have other friends. It's more of a give and take, that there isn't this need for this level of enmeshment and chaos. And I will never again subject myself to gaslighting. I'm very sensitive to that in any form, even mild form of just joking gaslighting from people. I call them out on it right away. So I will not accept that in my life. I'd rather be alone, to be honest, and have less friends and be better for it. I just can't. And so this is an example, an extreme example of how it can play out with friends. Maybe you can relate to some of this or all of it, who knows. But I know that there must be many of you who then encounter it with friendships too. And just know it's not you. You know, again, it goes back to, am I the one that attracts narcissists, whether it be romantic partners or friends? Do I have a sign on my forehead? No, perhaps what happened was a while back when we formed these friendships, we weren't looking out for the signs. And also remember, they don't manifest. If they're the more covert types, they don't manifest it right away. They're very charming. They reel us in. They put their best foot forward. And it could be like more insidious and covert. And you realize over time. But the thing with friendships is, it's never too late. And you don't live with them. You don't see them 24/7. It's not like a romantic partner. It won't be the same. You're not going to, it may, there may, might be some hurt and some sense of loss, but it's not as loaded, it's not as extreme as when you're going through a breakup with a romantic partner. So, in fact, in this arena, it's probably, in this context, it's probably a good way. And during this shutdown, during this COVID crisis, it's kind of like an eye opener. You have the space, you have the ability now to reflect, you have more time, and you have the distance. The physical distance also to reflect and to decide who to maintain in your inner circle and who, or in your any circle for that matter, and who to let go of. I think this is a great time to do that. So it's happened to me, and maybe you can relate to that as well. And I'd love to hear your stories also with friends who have been narcissistic and you've discovered that and how you've been able to cope, distance from that and cope from that. And maybe if you share some of your stories without giving away, obviously, the source and your names, I can maybe touch upon that during later episodes and bring those up as examples of how these things manifest, so we know what to look out for as we navigate into the world and make new friends or, choose who we allow to come close to us. So that's with friends. And now, I want to talk a little bit more about the dating during the COVID, but I feel like I'm just gonna let us kind of sit with that, with the subject matter with friends who are toxic and how to deal with them and how to clear our path from that toxicity. So let's just pause here and I'm going to be back for part four and make that into an episode about dating during this time. Okay. I hope it's been of some value to you and, I look forward to coming back with another episode soon. I hope you're all doing well, staying safe, continuing to stay safe, and sending much love and warm thoughts and well wishes your way. Take care. Hi, listeners. This is Effie, your host of the Heal and Thrive After Narcissistic Abuse podcast. And this is a continuation, part three, of what I was talking about in the last episode, about how we, about coping, during the COVID crisis as a narcissistic abuse survivor and the things that come up for us survivors, or that may come up. So, I realized after the fact when I was editing the audio after I had already published the last episode that I cut off about 20 minutes or so of the beginning of that episode. And for the new listeners who listened to the last episode after I cut it off accidentally, I was simply talking about my experience. COVID-19 hit close to home. It affected my father He contracted it early in March into April. He was suffering from it. Thankfully, he survived. I was talking about how difficult that time period in my life was, and how super anxious I was, and how triggering that was for me, and how I was able to use some of the techniques that I had picked up in the past when I was in the thick of things after the breakups with the narcissistic men I was with to help me cope with that anxiety, including breathing exercises, the EFT or tapping technique that I've referred to. The yoga, Pilates, meditation daily from home, and going back to that toolbox that I always refer to of other types of techniques to externalize those very loaded emotions in a more positive and self-affirming way. So, I was talking about all of that. Thankfully, in terms of that, I'm in a better place right now, and that I've been able to bring the focus back on me after that experience with my dad, and focus more on things that I can do during this time that are within my control. But it is triggering. It is triggering for sure, this collective experience on the one hand of what it has felt like to be, and not have the same level of contact with the outside world, with the in-person, socializing with friends and loved ones. Obviously, it's not to the same level and extent that it was before the crisis of before this pandemic, how that's affecting all of us, obviously can affect different people in different ways. But for narcissistic abuse survivors, there's a lot of the same things that we might have experienced during or right after the relationship with the narcissist, the high cortisol levels, the adrenaline rushing through us, all of those chemicals, where you kind of feel like you're living on edge. And that obviously, to some degree, we may have experienced during this time. And during the lockdown, how we experience perhaps memories, because for those of us who came out of a relationship or weren't dating anyone in particular, it could be a lonelier time with ourselves, which is, I think, ultimately the best for the best. And we can use this quality time to bring the focus back to ourselves, to reaffirm ourselves, to validate our to validate ourselves and our experience in the world, to rediscover talents that we thought we'd lost or we didn't have, to pick up new skills, or to just sit quietly with ourselves and just try to get through this without a lot of that roller coaster dramatic chaos that came with being in a relationship with a narcissistic man or woman. So, to me, I think it's a very positive life experience. Obviously, if one is not going through the actual illness or isn't affected by it on a personal level, or through loved ones. But minus that, I think we can try to see the silver lining in all of this. And I talked about, again, the toolbox and the coping mechanisms when the memories come of past relationships and maybe some of the craving and, you know, that what we're really craving is to ultimately be with somebody that makes us feel good about ourselves and the world. And that it's not just a taker, but a giver as well. And that can be there for us. And it's normal, natural, healthy to want that. And at the same time, to remind ourselves that we're not just going to settle for anything, just so we can fill the void that has hurt us in the past. So we know better than that. So to honor the place where we're at right now, to honor ourselves, to validate ourselves, and to, this is a good time to learn to, you know, what our boundaries are, what we're willing to put up with, what we're willing to let go of. And not just in romantic relationships, but also with friendships. And that's where I was getting to in the last episode. I was talking about a personal experience with a friend. It's quite unfortunate. And there's always a loss that's attached to it, regardless of whether or not the person, you know, whether the person was toxic. There's still a loss in something. And I had to withdraw from this friendship. And I'm not making any attempts, neither has she. And I know why she hasn't. And I know why I haven't, for different reasons. I know I don't want to engage with this person anymore, because each time I engaged with her, I realized how manipulative she could be, how disrespectful of the boundaries I was trying to set and create parameters around our friendship, how we could be, given how triggering she was for me. And she didn't respect that, and she kept pushing through. And how one-sided in many respects and toxic. Her speech, her way of approaching me, her way of bombarding me with her dating stories and her own situation. And I realized I just do not want I don't want to be subjected to that. And it made me feel like I was in another toxic relationship, this time with a friend. So I had to cut it off and withdraw, and that's where I'm at. From time to time, I think about it. I haven't had to cut off a lot of close friends from my inner circle, thankfully, but unfortunately, she is one of them. And without naming names, of course, for this purposes of this podcast. But basically, you know, just to give you an idea, I started tallying up all the times that things were on her terms, where we would meet. It had to be close to her and convenient to her and close to either her home, her borough, or, you know, to a subway stop that was nearest to hers. So, and this is like over the course of time. In the beginning, I went along with it. And then as time went on, I realized I was growing resentful of that. And not only that, but, you know, when we would meet to have lunch or dinner, it would usually be the cuisine that she wanted, the kinds of things that she wanted. And I'm like, oh my God, this is reminding me exactly of what it feels like or felt like to be in a one-sided relationship where you're always the one that's giving in. And I don't know where she is in the spectrum of narcissism, but I started picking up on narcissistic, selfish qualities about her. And I don't think she's malignant, but I do think that she has narcissistic traits, and to the point where it triggered me more and more. And so that was one thing that I noticed and I experienced, and the others were, just where it became hurtful. And I think that's when I started noticing the kind of person I was dealing with, was when I was going through a rough time back in, I don't know, October, November of last year, the end of last year, with that last dating experience, the guy with the two kids and the ex-wife that he hadn't yet divorced from. And that was a really difficult one for me, and it had, because there was a level of cognitive dissonance that went along with that, and it reminded me a lot of my experience with my ex, narcissist. And so I was really grappling with that, and I was just